can have of them. We can only know them to the point of their writings. But Jesus is the one that we can really get to know better day by day. And I highly recommend that you get to know him really well. Amen. Because he's the one that's going to take you to the other side. Amen. He's all that matters. If you have your Bibles this morning, Isaiah chapter 26. It's a hymn of praise is what this is. But we're going to look at something in here this morning. Let me read these verses 3, 4, and 5. Amen. And then we'll pray. And then we'll dive into what the Lord has for us here today. Isaiah chapter 6, 3, 4, and 5. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today, God, and help us, Lord. God, as we expound upon this, that you're anointed to be upon it, we say the things that you would have us to say, God. Lord, that our hearts be prepared to receive this word today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. That first verse that I read, speaking of God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's what this world is looking for, is perfect peace. I might ask this question of you this morning. Do you have a perfect peace that you are experiencing this morning? There's probably not too many of us that would be able to raise our hands and say, yeah, I'm living in a perfect peace. But God wants us to live in perfect peace. And we're going to look at some of the secrets of living in this perfect peace that God wants us to live in. Amen. A perfect peace. We're living in a world that has anything but peace. It's just turmoil. It's just to the right hand. It's to the left hand. People don't even know what they believe anymore. But the Word of God says he would keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I want that perfect peace from God. How many can say you would want that perfect peace from God? I want to be at peace with myself. I want to be at peace with others. I want to be at peace with God. Amen. And that's a good thing to want that. But this world has anything but peace. It's just turmoil. It's just a bunch of confusion going on out there. A lot of things, and I shared that a couple of weeks ago. There's a whole lot of things to be upset about in this society that we're living now. But the Word of God says he would keep us in perfect peace. In perfect peace, that's what we're talking about today. Amen. This afternoon, this morning, we all want peace, but this is talking about a perfect peace. To live in a perfect peace. I want to live in a perfect peace, where I can lay my head down on my pillow at night and I can go to sleep. I don't have turmoil on the inside of me. I don't have issues on the inside of me. Unresolved things that keep that perfect peace away. There's many things that are keeping perfect peace away from people today. And some of those things are the things that are happening in our society. The things that are happening in our economy. That can take the peace away from you, that perfect peace. The escalation of the prices of the natural gas, if you heat your homes with that, you're going to find out that the price of that has gone up quite a bit. You go to the gas pumps. How many have noticed that the price of gasoline is starting to go back up again? Those kinds of things can steal the peace of God from us if we're not careful. Amen. You used to have to go to the car lot, down to the car dealership, and you would be able to use the term sticker shock. It's like, wow, a vehicle costs that much. You don't even have to go to a car dealer anymore to have sticker shock. All you have to do is go to the grocery store. It's like, wow, you gotta be kidding me. This much for whatever, this little few things that I'm buying, those kinds of things can cause us not to have that peace, to lose that peace. But there is a secret, and God wants to keep him in perfect peace. And so how do we have this perfect peace in God? And it answers itself right there, and it says, whose mind is stayed on thee. Your mind has to be stayed on Jesus, or it's sustained by him. You must keep your mind stayed on God. Amen. Throughout the scriptures, if we would look at them, we are reminded to think on him. Amen. To stay our mind, to focus on him. How do we do that? The world all wants perfect peace. They're going about it in their own ways. There's many people that think if they can attain a little bit more, if you can just have a little bit more money in the bank account, you know, forget the savings account, just let me get a little bit more money in my checking account, and then that's going to bring a peace to me. A job that pays a little bit more, that's going to bring a peace to me. But those kinds of things doesn't bring the peace that God is talking about. Amen. He's talking about this perfect peace that our mind has to be focused on him. Is your mind focused on God today? What is your mind focused on? Many people, their mind is focused on the things and the issues of life that are going on in their life at the moment. That's what you think about. Problems and situations that you have to face. You have to take care of those things, but those things can rob that peace. But you can have a perfect peace if you keep your mind on God. Amen. And you got to look at things through God's perspective. You got to look at them through God's eyes. Amen. Any situation that you're facing, you know, you can get a peace if you would pray this way and say, God, this thing that I'm facing, I don't much like it. And it's okay to tell God if you don't like something. I don't much like this, God. I don't understand why I'm having to go through this situation. But Lord, let me see this situation through your eyes, the way that you're looking at it. And if you do that, there's going to be a peace that floods your heart. Heart and your soul. Amen. And you got to be at peace with yourself and with others. Amen. The reason the world's in all the turmoil that it's in is because people are not at peace with themselves. And you can't be at peace with yourselves until you have Jesus living in your life. Amen. And you have given yourself to him. You desire to be one of his disciples. You desire to be one of his followers. You desire to be one to do what his teachings tell us to do. That is what will give you a perfect peace. Amen. Whose mind is stayed on thee. And so how do we do this? And you can turn over in your book, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Amen. I say it that way to help you maybe find it a little bit quicker. Colossians chapter 3. And we're just going to look at two verses here. Amen. And how can we have this change about? Instead of having turmoil within us, we can have a peace within us. Doesn't matter what happens. You're just, it's going to be all right. God's got this. I'm okay with this. I'm not happy about the situation, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over this. How can that happen? Colossians chapter 3, the first two verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And where it says set your affections, it sets your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. Amen. That's how we can have that perfect peace. We need to have our minds renewed. Amen. We're born again believers. We're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. You need a renewed mind versus the way that the world thinks. We think differently because we're not living in this world without hope. Amen. We have hope in God. We know that God's returning for us. We know that the Bible teaches us. You think it's bad now? The Bible teaches us in the last days, amen, which I believe that we're living. The Bible instructs us that it's going to wax worse and worse. What does that mean? It's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not here to make you feel sad and pull you down. But the scripture teaches us it's going to get worse and worse. Who would have ever thought that our society would be the condition that it is in today? 20 years ago, did you think that America would be the way that it is today? Certainly not. It's worse than it was 20 years ago. And as long as the Lord tarries, it's going to keep getting worse and worse. And until he comes and raptures the church out of here, we, even in the midst of all of this, we can have a perfect peace. because we know that God's got this. We know that God is in control. But what do we have to do? We have to keep our minds focused on Him. That was in Isaiah. And here in Colossians it says we have to set our affections, or we have to set our mind on things above. On things above. Amen. Build your hopes on things eternal. Think on eternal things. Set your minds there. Because if you set your minds on things on this earth, on the material things on this earth, they are going to fail you. They are going to let you down. I know I say this often, and it's advisable to do so. God wants us to be wise stewards of our money. There's nothing wrong with having retirement accounts and having money laid back in a 401k. 403b, that's quite all right to do that kind of thing, but don't set your affection on those things, because they're going downhill. Amen. The amount you had at the beginning of this year, you don't have that amount now. Even if you've been adding money to it every month, you probably still have less. And is that going to give you a perfect peace? Absolutely not. But don't set your minds on those things. Amen. We're living in this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We need to set our affection on spiritual things. Amen. That's why when it comes to our monies and our giving, we're human. I'm just as human as you are. It's always about me, myself, and I, and how can I better myself, and I need this and I need that. How about giving into the work of God? How about giving into the kingdom of God? Because then you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. It's a good opportunity for me here to say this. We got that bus. We're going to be collecting an offering for it probably in the first part of November. Well, that church always wants my money. Man, you invest in something like that, you're investing in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's going to be a blessing that comes with that. Amen. I can get on a little rabbit trail here just for a little bit of time, because the scripture says, and we believe the scripture, and it is the word of God, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. That doesn't make any sense. If I only have this much and I give it away, how am I going to sustain and keep myself? Because the scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you. And not just given unto you, it says, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall God cause men to give unto your bosom. Amen. I don't know how God's going to do it, but He will meet and He will supply all of our needs. Amen. All of your needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. We can't always go by what we have in the checking account or savings account when it comes to giving into the work of God. Amen. Sometimes God will let that gift of faith work in us, and I'm going to go above and beyond, and I'm going to do this. I know I shared it in camp meeting. I myself have never done it, but I know of people that have given an entire paycheck to the Lord. How can you afford to do that? You can't afford to do that, but their bills didn't go unpaid. God blessed them. God met them in supernatural ways. Why? Because the word of God is true. It says if you give, it's going to be given unto you. Amen. So set your affections on things above. Amen. Set your mind on things above. Amen. I'm building my hopes on things eternal. If you're building your hopes on things on this earth, be burned by fire someday, according to the scripture. It's all going to be dissolved. It's all going to be gone. But yet we're foolish as men. We do that. We invest. And when it comes to the end of life, and you leave this world and you go into the next, what is it that you can take with you? Absolutely nothing. You can't take nothing in you, nothing with you. The word of God instructs us, for you brought nothing into this world, and you can take nothing out of this world. But from the day we're born and we start to get a little bit of a mind in us, we just want to get and attain and have for what? We need to set our mind on things above. We're talking about living in perfect peace. We don't have perfect peace because our minds are set, and our affections are set on things here, and they will upset us. They will disturb us. Amen. And so that sounds easy, but how do we do this? How do we renew our minds? And we're going to look at some ways to renew our minds. Amen. Remember what the promise is. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Amen. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So how do renew our minds? How do we have this perfect peace? How do we keep our minds stayed on God? And I have written on a paper here some things that we can do. Amen. Number one is this. Do you realize that everything we feed ourselves throughout the day will eventually be thought about? whatever you feed yourself throughout the day, you eventually will think about it. And I'm not saying it's wrong. You be the judge of those things. Let that Holy Spirit guide you. But if you're listening to ungodly music all day long, pretty soon that's what your mind is going to be thinking about. Amen. You picked the fine time to leave me, Lucille, Lucille. And if you listen to that all day, later on, you're going to be thinking about that. We're supposed to set our minds on things above. Amen. And so instead of listening to that kind of stuff, that's why as churches and at believers, we believe we need to fill ourselves with spiritual things. There is Christian music all over the radio today. It's not hard to find it. We have the Family Life Network that you can find in our area. There's what's that new one out of Sheffield? K-Love. K-Love is another one. Hey, amen. I think it's 105.1 on the dial. It comes out of Sheffield. I mean, it's you fill yourself with these. What do you fill yourself with day by day? Amen. Do you realize everything that you feed yourself throughout the day, you're eventually going to be thinking about that? I want God's way. We sing this. We say we believe it, but do we really? I want God's way to be my way as I travel here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. Though the way seem long and rough, as he leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. God's not going to force himself on you. You have to purposely get in to spiritual things. You have to purposely listen to good music. You have to purposely be careful about what you let go through your eye gate. You have to purposely be careful what you let your ears listen to. There's times you have to push away from things. You can't do it. Well, it is what it is. It's my lot in life, and here I am. You have to separate yourself from those things to have that perfect peace that God wants you to have. Proverbs 4:23 says this to us, and this is sort of a commandment. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. We have to keep our heart. I have to be careful about what I listen to. I have to be careful about the company that I keep. What kind of a pastor would I be if I was hanging out at the bar room all week long and then coming here on Sunday morning and try to share the Word of God with you? What would I have to share with you? I have to keep myself separate from this world. And we as believers, as best as we can, and God will guide you, keep yourself separate from the world's way of life. Amen. We're believers. We live different. We have to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. What do we do? We watch what we eat. Most people. Okay. I have a sister. I think she's upstairs this morning. Sister Judy. She's got a cholesterol problem. So she's going nuts over this cholesterol diet. I mean, she just is refraining from this, and she's refraining from that, and I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to walk, I'm going to exercise. Well, on the other hand, it must be hereditary. I have a cholesterol problem. I ain't going to watch what I eat. I'm going to enjoy life. Amen. If I want to eat greasy chicken, I eat greasy chicken. And I told the doctor when I was there, and don't tell me I can't eat snack foods, because that's my staple food. That's the thing I love the most, my potato chips and all of that kind of stuff. So what is the point that I'm bringing out? We watch what we eat. My sister's watching what she eats. And so I'll make an analogy here that's not going to be too good for me. She's watching what she eats, and I know what I should be doing, but I'm not doing it. Doesn't it sound like the saint and the sinner? The saint knows what they should do, so they're careful about what they let in through their eyes, through their ears. Be careful about the words that come out of their mouth. And then there's the other people that know they should be careful about what they let in, but they just, well, it is what it is. They're going to enjoy life, just like I'm enjoying life. And I go back to the doctor in a couple of weeks, and with my attitude I've had, my cholesterol's been staying okay, just in case you're wondering about that. I mean, that's because I walk my dogs. That's where my exercise is. So we're careful about what we eat, but we also need to be careful about what we feed our minds. You watch what you eat. This might be a bad time to talk about it, because we're going to go upstairs. There's some mighty good food up there. I can't honestly say it's all healthy for you. I can honestly say it's all going to be very good tasting. And something about human nature, the foods that we love the most, that taste the best, are the worst, are the most unhealthy. I work in a nursing home, and people in nursing homes get, unless it's a fried egg, but they, Sister Todd used to be a cook in a nursing home, they get no fried foods. Poor souls, they don't have fried, they don't have chicken wings, if you like chicken wings. French fries, if they have those, they're baked. Do you ever eat baked French fries? How can you call them French fries? But that's the way that it is. But we need to be careful about what we feed our minds. We're so taken up about what goes into, oh, there's some people that, you know, talk about the new Green Deal. Some people do it with their foods too. Man, everything's got to be green and leafy and healthy and no red meats. And kudos to you. God bless you if you're able to do that. We're very careful about that. But when it comes to our minds, we'll feed it anything. We'll feed it anything. We have to purpose in our heart that we are going to be careful about what we let through our eyes. David, in one of his psalms, says, I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. That didn't mean that evil things weren't going to be before his eyes, but he wasn't going to dwell on that. We need to purpose in our hearts. I'm not going to set any evil thing before mine eyes. We want the peace of God. You can't set evil things before your eyes and have the peace of God like he wants you to have. Amen. We're careful about what we feed our... We need to be careful about what we feed our minds. How can we focus on the Lord? And I'm speaking... When somebody speaks, they're not just speaking to you and throwing stones at you. I'm throwing stones at myself too. Amen. When I talk about these things. How would anyone be able to focus on the Lord if they spend the entire day in front of the TV... The entire day, kids, some adults, video games. Man, that stuff's addictive. My young son had some of those games. There's one of them. Man, it's real. It's a big screen. Man, I can play golf on there. Whoa. I mean, it's consuming. It's like, man, you always got to do a little better. And there's some really vile things that they have. How can I stay focused on the Lord if I'm spending my whole day sitting there and letting my mind be fed with the TV? Pastor, you're saying TV's wrong. I'm not saying TV's wrong. I'm saying you need to be careful about what you let in here because it's going to have an effect upon you. Our senses become deadened. And if you spend much time watching TV, you will see, if you pay attention, it's getting more and more common for there to be same-sex couples in that relationship. And it's just like it's an okay thing. And saints of God are watching that stuff and they're thinking, well, it's not so bad. Or, well, no, what's the issue with that? Where years ago we would have thought, there's no way God's pleased with that. It's because we're feeding our minds things that don't please God. So how can we focus on the Lord? If you spend all day watching television, if you spend all day on video games, or if you spend all day on social media, believe you me, I know how addictive social media is. You have a minute to sit down. I work a job. I go 2 days a week, 12-hour days. When I go on my breaks, man, I'm tapping on my phone. Where do you think I'm going? Facebook. For what? I do not know. I have no idea. I have no idea. There's a blog in our area, and it's Solomon's Words. I go there, and I'm getting older, so I look at the local obituaries, too. I'll admit that. They say that's a sign of old age. But that's what I'm feeding my mind when I'm sitting down. Facebook. And that Facebook, when I go through it, that's feeding me something. That's going into my ears, going through my eyes, going into my mind. How can I stay focused on the Lord if I spend my every free entire minute doing this? This thing is so addictive, you got to be careful with it. I'm not saying it's sinful. Even sitting at your home in the evening when you're there with the family, don't take these things to the kitchen table. Okay, that's not a commandment, but that's my commandment, okay? Don't take them to the kitchen table. That's rude. You go into restaurants, there's people sitting there. There could be a couple sitting there, and they're not even talking to each other. They're both on their phones. Fact of the matter is, if they're talking, they're probably texting each other. How crazy of a world are we living in? Amen. These things take up your mind. Your mind is constantly going. Your mind is always thinking about something. That's the way God has made the mind. I want it to think on spiritual things, so we have to be careful if we feed our minds all of this stuff, or if we're just reading books all day that have nothing to do with the Lord. There's some good Western novels out there if you like Westerns. There's some good World War II stories if you like that to read. But if you're spending every free minute doing those things, circumcision and you're not getting into the Word of God, how can you focus on the Lord? Amen. And you want that perfect peace. So I spend all day doing some of these things that I was just talking about. And, you know, I'm thinking about those things. And then I go down to fill the truck up and I see gasoline took a jump in price. There goes my peace. There comes that anger flooding over me. Go to the store to buy a gallon of milk. It hasn't gone over $5 yet, but it's got real close to $5 a gallon. There goes my peace again. And then I go to the grocery store to buy other groceries, and I get sticker shock. There goes my peace again. Why? Because my mind isn't stayed on the Lord. It's filled with all of these other things. It takes that peace that God wants me to have. Amen. So we need to be diligent to avoid everything that is contrary to the truth. And what is the truth? Thy word, O Lord, is truth. Anything that's contrary to the word of God, with diligence, you need to do your best to avoid it. Nobody has to stand and tell you, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't go there, you can't do that. You'll just know the things that you should refrain from doing. Why should we do that? Because we need to be diligent, amen, to avoid anything that's contrary to the truth, because that'll steal your peace. That's why you can't sleep at night. Amen. And perhaps that's why you have to take Prozac or Ativan or whatever else is out there. Because you don't have any inner peace. Amen. Because you're not focused on God. You're not thinking on Him. Amen. And so why is it that our minds wander? Amen. During prayer. During prayer, our minds wander. We can't, because we don't focus on God throughout the day. We're doing everything else. There's no focus on God. God isn't. Then there's no switch up here for me to flip. But God isn't something that you just flip the switch. Now I'm going into the spiritual thing. Now it's all about God. Okay, God, now I'm going to shut you down. There's a lot of people that do that to go to church every Sunday. They go into their churches and they flip the switch on. It's all about God. And then when they walk out the church door, they flip the switch off and it's nothing about God. And then they don't have that perfect peace that God wants to give them and they wonder why. Amen. You can't shut it down. Amen. You can't focus on God. Amen. When you can't pray and you can't focus on God when your mind's been everywhere else throughout the day. Amen. So the reason is that we don't have this peace is because our focus, amen, God isn't our focus, but earthly things are. What's your focus today? Well, it should be that I'm going to have enough food to eat. It should be that I have a warm place to stay. It should be that I have enough money to pay my bills. Those things are necessities. But where is your focus today? Amen. We're talking about living in a perfect peace that God wants us to have. So if you don't have that perfect peace, that might be one of the reasons you don't have it. You're not focused on Him. There's a switch. Going into church. Okay, I turn it on. Man, it's all about God. Oh, I love this. Man, I feel good when I'm in church. I like the songs they sing. That pastor, sometimes I like the things he said, sometimes not so much. And then we go out the door, and you know, as we go out the door, we flip the switch off. God, you're staying here. I'm going back out in this world and do what I want to do. And then we have no peace and wonder why. We have to be careful. The second thing that I have on my list here, to have that perfect peace, we need to be consistent, and you need to be, and this is something that we all struggle with, consistent in your Bible reading. Consistent. When do you pick up the Bible and read it? Everybody would give a different answer. Some, it might be just, I'm going through a really hard time. You know, they got some really neat Bibles out there, and you look in the front, and if this is what you're facing, this is the scripture to read. If that is what you're facing, this is the scripture to read. If you're only going to the Word in those times, it's not going to be much help. You're not going to have that consistent peace that God wants you to have. But you need to consistently read the Bible. Amen. You need to stay, if you're going to stay focused on God, the best way to stay focused on God is to read His Word. If me and my wife, for whatever reason, I'm too old now, but we'll just use my crazy imagination. I get called to duty by the country, and I get sent to a foreign land somewhere to serve my country. And now you got to really use your imagination. You don't have social media. You don't have telephones. There's no way to communicate. And the only way that I was able to communicate with my wife would be by letters that she would send me. That was the only way I was able to stay in touch with her, to communicate with her. I would have to read those letters every day to keep my mind focused on her, to think about her. And so we, spiritually speaking, we have to consume godly things every day. Make it a point. Read a chapter a day. Read a few verses a day. Don't be like the one guy was. He was down to the church and he says, man, you need to read your Bible every day. He was a new Christian. He thought, wow, I like this idea. But he got up a little bit late and he thought, man, they said read it every day. So he says, he opened his Bible and he put his finger down and it says, and Judas went and hanged himself. He thought, wow, that's not a good thought to have all day. So he flipped it to another place and laid his finger down and it said, what thou doest thou quickly. Wow. That's not a very good thing to think about. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to have consistent reading. You can take this scripture and pull a verse here and a verse there, and you could justify anything that you want to do. You need to be consistent in God's word. This is God's literal word right here. That's what makes Christians different. That's what makes us different. We believe this to be the supreme authority. The United States government is not the supreme authority. The word of God is. The powers that be are ordained of God. We're not against government, so don't misunderstand me. There are some cults out there that are. We are not against government. They're there for our good. They're there for our protection. But the word of God is supreme. If they start passing laws and regulations that are contrary to the word of God, I can't flow with it. I can't do it. This is supreme. Amen. And so God's word, this is the literal word of God. And so we have to incline our ear to it. Do you have an ear for it? You're in a conversation with somebody and you're debating. You might use the word argue. You're going over a big conversation. You're giving your view and they're giving their view. And then when somebody says, but the Bible says, then you incline your ear to that. And it's like, oh, okay. I guess the conversation's over. That's what the Bible says. It should be that way in our life if we want that perfect peace that God has with us. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone? I'm glad my wife's not down here. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone or they were trying to converse with you and your mind wandered? Mine does it frequently. My wife would say amen if she was here. You didn't even hear a word I said, did you? Yeah, I heard every word. What did I say? Man, don't test me like that. We don't want to be tested like that. It's like, wow. So if you've ever been in a conversation with someone and your mind wanders, that's insulting. If you're trying to talk to somebody and it's like, maybe you've done it. Ah, just forget it. You know, I'll talk to you another time. Then you feel a little insulted. No, I'm listening. No, you're not listening. That happens a lot between husband and wife. Trust me, okay? Why does your mind wander? Your mind would wonder if someone's trying to talk to you and your mind wonders, why does it do that? Because you weren't paying attention to their words. It didn't matter what they were saying. You were thinking about something else. Amen. You were caring about other things as they were speaking. And so a great way to focus on God is to consistently read His word. Consistently read His word. Get a schedule down. Start in the book of John. It's one of the easiest books in the Bible to understand. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. You read the book of John, it's like, and the way the word of God is, it's a living word. You could read the book of John from beginning to end, and you could start over and read it again, and you could start over and read it again, and every time you read it, you're going to see something that you didn't see before. We need to be consistent. That is what will bring peace to us. Amen. Oh, you're trying to be a monk. You're trying to make me a religious fanatic. No, I'm trying to help you have a perfect peace. Amen. And so we focus on God's word. We consistently read His word. And then your mind won't wander because His word will ever be before you. Thy words have I hid in my heart, the psalmist said, that I might not sin against thee. How many want to sin against God? You'd raise your hand. Yeah, no big deal because there's God's mercy and grace. If I sin, you know, it is what it is. We don't want to sin against God. And David said, your words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the might is there. You still may possibly sin against God, but there's less of a chance that you're going to sin against God if you hide His words in your heart. Amen. You are going to remember those words. His word is ever before us. And so make it a habit to consistently read the Bible. I was talking about this little fellow right here. I don't know what our forefathers would think. I don't know what my grandparents would think. There wasn't such a thing. What would they think if they came back and everybody's walking around carrying these little things and they're not talking to people anymore? They're just all looking at these. I remember when these first came into the workplace. Us nurses, we used to go on break, and we would sit in the break room, and it was good because we would be able to discuss issues that we were having with some of our patients, and we could get wisdom from another nurse who had faced that issue with someone before and get some ideas. And when these things first started coming in, I didn't have one. So I felt alone. Everybody else around me sitting there on these, and I'm sitting there eating alone, like, wow, this is lonely. So I joined a club. I got one. Now when we go on break, nobody even converses anymore. Everybody's on their phone. If we converse, you know how we converse? Hey, look what I found. And we're sharing that. That's foolishness. So we need to consistently read God's word. So where I was going with this, and I'm speaking to myself. So when I sit down, and when you sit down, instead of going to Facebook, there are some good Bible apps you can get. And when you sit down, flip on that Bible app and you'll hear the word of God. You can hear some instruction. That would be much better than looking at Facebook and seeing what it has to say, or Twitter or TikTok. I guess that's out there. I heard that's evil. Okay, I think they're all evil. You need to be careful with them. But we need to make it a habit to leave these things go and get a Bible app to read. And you can read through the Bible. Remember, the reason that we're doing these things is we're talking about, we like that scripture in Isaiah that I read to you. And I'm going back over there. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. We all want this. We all read this and we think, oh, how sweet, how wonderful. We just grab this verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And we stop right there. Oh, thou, God, you're going to keep me in perfect peace. But we don't continue. What does it say as it continues? The one that has their mind stayed on thee. And then the next step is, because he trusteth in thee. Where is your trust today? Who is your hope in today? And the third thing that I have written on my paper here, and I have a whole lot of them, and I may continue this next week. And so Brooke and Kyle and Eric will be in the Dominican. So if they want to hear the rest of it, they'll have to tune in. We're talking about having the perfect peace. Remember, we're talking about perfect peace. The third thing, if we want that perfect peace, it's not just the presbyter. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's not just those that God has called into ministry. This is something God's called us all to be, to spend time with God in the secret place. You have to spend time with God in the secret place. That's where you're there. You're talking with God. Jesus, when he was here up on this earth, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and when thou prayest, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jesus spent time with God in the secret place. Jesus physically got tired. He physically got hungry when he was here upon this earth. And when the days would come to an end. Now mind you, they didn't have electricity back then. Okay? Maybe some of you need reminded, Jesus didn't have a cell phone. Okay? We're so used to them, we want to think that they were always here. They weren't always here. Okay? Jesus didn't have the internet. There was no such thing. But what Jesus would do at the end of many days when he was really tired is he would go into a mountain apart from the disciples, those that were following him, and he would go there and pray. He was in that secret place with God. So we have to spend time alone with God in secret prayer when no one is watching. Man, when they have prayer down to the church that first Monday night of the month from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, oh, I don't have any problem making a show in there. Oh, and the reason some of us might do it, and I hope there's not any here, and I don't believe there is because people are seeing us. We're not talking about that kind of prayer. We're talking about praying in that secret place that nobody in here knows that you're praying. How much praying do you do outside of church? You know, we might do the little sort of, we don't want nobody to see us, you know, we're a little bit ashamed. At school, there's nothing wrong with you to pray over your food. I've worked with some people that when they would get their lunch ready at work, they would bow their head and say a silent prayer. They wouldn't say, everybody be quiet. I got to pray that God blesses my food. They just did it quietly. Some people, that's all the praying they do. And a lot of us don't even pray over our food. We're sort of ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We won't do that. We have to be careful with that. We're talking about spending time with God when no one is watching. It's just you and God. This is where this is where God's heart becomes your heart. And I was talking before when I started here this morning, and I was saying, if we could only see things the way God sees things, you can. The situations you're facing today, sometimes we wonder, where are you, God? Don't you see? Don't you care? Don't you understand? Notice, yeah, he sees, he cares, he understands. You can get so close to God that you can see through his eyes the way that he's looking at the uncomfortable situation that you're facing in your life. Amen. So his heart becomes your heart, and his mind becomes your mind. His mind becomes your mind. You get to really know him, and then can become like him. That's what God wants it to be. We want to know him and become like him. That's what it's all about. I don't want to imitate one of you. I don't want one of you to imitate me. I want to know what it is that Jesus would do. How would he face this situation? I want him in my life. And so I have to be in that secret place with him. Do I see Jesus when I'm talking to him? No, I don't see him. Do I feel him when I'm talking to him? Sometimes I don't, but I know he's there, but sometimes I do. His presence, there's a presence that can come over you when you're spending that time in that secret place. There was a hymn written many years ago, in the garden. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Amen. And that person, what they were doing is having communion with God. God wants us to do that. Amen. He wants his mind to become your mind. Amen. We need to really know him and become like him. God wants you to himself. He's a jealous God. You want the peace of God? You got to give yourself completely to God, or you're not going to have that perfect peace. You're going to be in a bit of a tizzy and a bit of a turmoil all the time until you learn to give yourself to God. Amen. And so if you learn to spend time with God in secret prayer, amen, my finishing statement today, if you learn to spend time with God in secret prayer, you will become more like him. And the Spirit of God will give you the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That can happen. I'm talking about a perfect peace. We just read that scripture in Isaiah. Oh, he's going to keep me in perfect peace. And we stop right there. Our mind has to be stayed on him. Get your mind stayed on Jesus today. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. And Sister Bonnie can come down. And let's pray. Amen. We're going to sing that song. I think we sang it at Fellowship. I've got the peace of God in me. I've got the peace of God in me. I've got his peace, his nature, and his ability. There's a lot of words we can put in there, but I want the peace of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help each one of us that's here today, God. Lord, that we want this perfect peace. God, there's some of us here that things probably aren't going so wonderful right now, and we have every natural reason to be in a tizzy, in a turmoil, and upset, and nothing peaceful about us at all. Our mind's just in a turmoil. But God, you want us to have that perfect peace, but we got to keep our minds stayed on you. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, help each one that's here this morning, God. Lord, that they'll surrender themselves to you, God. They'll look to you. They'll spend time with you in that secret place, God. Lord, they'll spend time in prayer. God, they'll lay other things aside. God, they'll keep their heart with all diligence, because of out of the heart comes the issues of life. God, in the name of Jesus, help us, God. Lord, give us that peace today. Help each one, God. Minister unto them in the name of Jesus. God, we rebuke the devourer today in the name of the Lord, God, that we can have this perfect peace that you want us to have. Let's sing this chorus in closing this morning. I've got the peace.